Okay, up next we have Del Roth. He's going to be talking about improving security in Nix packages.
Thank you. Is the microphone actually working? Yes, good. So I'm Del Roth. I've been working on Nix packages for a few years now, and I've been involved in some security remediation events and recently working on NixOS infrastructure. So it all comes from a story. So let's start with a story. Sometime last year, this vulnerability dropped kind of silently. Chrome released an update saying, like, hey, we released a new version of Chrome Stable. You should really update today because people have actually been exploiting it in the wild and it's giving like code execution. So the interesting thing is we actually patched that in Chrome really quickly, but also what Nix packages, NixOS, and some other distros started realizing is that, well, that's not actually a Chrome vulnerability. It was reported everywhere as a Chrome vulnerability at the time, but it was actually a vulnerability in a dependency of Chrome, which is GIBWebP, which is an image parsing library. Which, so we patch GIBWebP and not just Chrome, and everything is solved, right? Like, everyone depends on GIBWebP, so whenever the version is updated in Nix packages, they'll pick up the update, it gets rebuilt, everything is magical, and we don't have to do anything else. So then ensued about a month of work to actually make this happen. So this is the tracking bug that I actually linked at the bottom for trying to actually fix this vulnerability in Nix packages, not just in Chrome, not just in GIBWebP itself, but in actually everything else that's in Nix packages. I've highlighted a part of it here, which is that some applications bundle their own version of GIBWebP. Each of these need to be updated separately by Nix packages maintainers. And that's not just Chrome, that's including, some other web browsers, for example, that was luckily not including Firefox, but for example, including Thunderbird because the packaging was slightly different, et cetera, et cetera. See Bigo for a list of all the known applications that need an update in their status. So this is Bigo. And yeah, so as you can see, this was like about a month of work. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but there's a lot of stuff. This list is probably not complete because, as I'm going to get to, we kind of lack tooling on this, we lack statistics, we lack data, and so this talk is trying to give an overview of this problem, try to bring awareness to it, and try to bring up a few solutions and like how we could actually do things better. So why is this happening? Why did we have to fix so many things? So this is a phenomenon known as vendoring. Vendoring is when a piece of software decides that instead of depending on the library that they get through, like, package config or through the general build environment providing to it, the software is just going to copy the source code of that library, put it somewhere in their own source directory, and then, it's easier to build because people don't have to install dependencies. The problem with that is since they've pinned the version of the dependency, whenever there's an update that needs to happen to it, then the update doesn't just need to happen to the dependency, it needs to happen to everyone who has pinned the version of the dependency by copying it into their source repository. To some extent, vendoring also happens with log files. Log files aren't exactly the same thing because technically you're not copying the source code, you're just like enforcing that your software can only build with one specific version of a library, and like sometimes even like you're providing the hash of like either the source code or the binaries that like you need to use to build the software. Which means that in practice, you're not copying the source code, you're just copying the hash of the source code. It's, you're still basically pinning it and making it impossible to do any kind of update. So for this specific GIBWebP vulnerability, so we spent about a month on this. We did not manage to fix everything. So that's the sad part of this is like tens of people, I don't actually have a full list here, but like tens of people spent probably hundreds of hours combined on this, trying to fix software that, we have in Nix packages, but maintainers weren't super active on, or just like chase down upstream, because you know if upstream has copied a version of a package into the of libWebP into the source code, then you need them to actually go and fix the problem, or you need to apply patches, but you know patches are fragile; they'll just break on the next update, etc., etc. And yeah, even though we spent hundreds of hours on this, we did not actually fix everything. We fixed, I think, about like 50% by count of a given number of packages. But what we did actually is we spent some time categorizing and saying, okay, these are the actual high-risk stuff that's likely to get exploited, that's like connected to the internet, parsing untrusted input. And then there is the rest, which is like, you know, maybe we can get away with not updating it now, and like sometime in the future, upstream will realize that they actually are vulnerable to something and will maybe fix it. Even if you look at only the high-risk stuff that we categorize as high-risk, we had some packages in there that we did not actually get fixed. We had to mark them as insecure index packages, because even though they are like internet-facing software that parses untrusted image files, for example, like email clients, they did not get an update within a month for a critical vulnerability that Chrome people were saying was exploited in the wild. Let's play a little game. Let's have some maybe, I don't know if we'll do audience participations. LibWebP copies index packages. So I've counted, I've actually been building some tooling as part of the remediation for this LibWebP vulnerability. And we have a better idea now of like how many packages are copying libraries that we have index packages. So for LibWebP, we had about 116 different packages. And by packages here, you know, we had a whole talk about what a package is. I'm talking about something that is built by Hydra. So Nix package is stuff that is not non-free, that is not insecure, and, well, not marked as insecure. I'm not counting like I'm counting only one architecture. I'm like grouping by package name. So we have about 116 LibWebP copies, but like LibWebP is actually fairly recent. WebP is a modern image format. What about LibPNG, which is, you know, significantly older? 237. What about LibJPEG, which is maybe even more common than LibPNG? 253. Zlib. So Zlib is a really small C library that people have been using for like maybe 30 years to decompress GZ files and zip files and stuff like this. We have about 761 of those in Nixpack copied throughout multiple Nix packages things. So let's say that, for example, there would be like a vulnerability in libPNG. How do we go and fix it? Well, given that we took about a month for 116 packages in libWebP and we got to 50% of them, I guess libPNG would take about like, you know, 2 months maybe, and we'd get also to 50% of them. It's not really a great outcome. So is this actually a problem? Like, how often do these libraries actually have vulnerabilities? Also, okay, we have copies of them, but like maybe they're actually being kept up to date and it's not actually that bad. So here is actually, for libPNG, this is a grouping by version. It turns out that we actually have enough information that we can figure out what version of libPNG is being embedded within all the packages in Nix packages. And you'll see that the top of the distribution is very much like recent versions, 1.6.37, 1.6.39, 1.6.40. That's actually pretty good. Nix packages, unsurprisingly, is at 1.6.40 right now. We have like the latest. Well, I don't know if it's the latest version, because I see 1.7.0 in there, and I don't actually know. It's definitely not as used as the others. What I've also looked at is the release date for some of these versions, and these are all the versions released more than 10 years ago. So we actually have two packages in Nix packages right now using a libPNG version from 2004, which is kind of impressive. It's like, you know, was x86-64 even a thing at the time? I don't know. But somehow it works. I don't know, actually. I've not tested it. Maybe it doesn't work, but it's in there. You can Nix build it, and you'll get a binary that has a libPNG from 2004. Does it have vulnerabilities? Yes. There's like about like 12 different critical CVEs that, give code execution buffer overflows. Some of this might be mitigated these days because we have vulnerability mitigation as part of operating systems, as part of compilers and stuff like that. So it's not exactly clear how many vulnerabilities apply to these old versions. Another thing is that there isn't really anyone right now who finds a new vulnerability in Git PNGs and goes and say, oh, I'm going to test it on this version from 2004 just to see if it actually applies. So a lot of the vulnerability database is out of date and doesn't really contain the right information to even check against that. I've mentioned log files. So log files are kind of a new problem. Turns out if you go back to 10 years ago, we didn't have software in Rust, in Go, in JavaScript. At least we didn't have as much as we do now. Java kind of did log files a bit with Maven, even at the time. But it's mostly a new phenomenon. And the good thing with log files is it's actually really easy to get a full transitive list of all the dependencies because they're in the log file. That doesn't mean that people are any better at actually managing their dependencies, unfortunately, even though there is good tooling to do so. So for example, for Rust, there's this tool called Cargo Audit. And Cargo Audit is a tool that takes a cargo.log file and tells you all of the vulnerabilities that apply in this cargo log file. So I used some tooling that I wrote as well to go through every single Rust package currently in Nix packages. And that's kind of like looking at every single derivation that has a cargo depths in it, collecting the log file from that. And what we find by doing this is that there is 62% of all Rust packages in Nix packages right now that have at least one vulnerable dependency locked in a log file. I'm describing it as a Nix packages problem. The problem is it's not entirely a Nix packages problem. Like, we're just fetching it from upstream. It's just people are locking dependencies. We don't really have control over that, like we did for Python, C, C++ dependencies. And upstream is just not doing as good a job as distributions were doing. I mentioned 1,100 vulnerable dependencies. About 750 of these are actually higher critical severity based on CVSS score, which is a flawed metric, but it's about as good as we have. So yeah, if you get a Rust packages and Nix packages at random, you have a 40% chance that one of its dependencies has at least one known critical, like higher critical vulnerability. Doesn't mean it's exploitable, but let's say that even 1% of this is exploitable, that's seven packages in Nix packages with higher critical vulnerabilities exploitable. That's still not good. And 1% is just a random number I picked. Yeah, so as I mentioned, it's an ecosystem, it's a general open source ecosystem problem. I don't know that this specific log files thing is something that we can fix at the Nix packages side. Nix packages has some fault. We have some Rust software that's just out of date, for example. And so when we do that, the log file is also out of date. But from the ones that I've manually inspected, this is not the majority of these cases. In the majority of cases, this is like Nix packages is packaging the latest version from upstream and is just containing insecure dependencies. What is causing vendoring in Nix packages? A few things. We don't actually try to prevent it. I've checked, I was really surprised, Nix packages does not have any documentation, any policy against vendoring. There's nothing that says, if a software has an option to use system rip PNG instead of using its own emptied version, there's actually no documentation that says that we should prefer using that option. A lot of people do it because it's good practice. Not everyone does. We don't really have, we don't really have a way to prevent it for newer language ecosystems, like for Go, Rust, JavaScript, as I mentioned. You don't have a choice. You just have to vendor stuff because we don't have a way to, we don't have Rust libraries in Nix packages. We just have the GIF software. Same for Go, same for JavaScript. Well, now same for JavaScript. We used to have Node2Nix for a while, which kind of added Nix derivations for libraries, but it was all automatically generated anyway, so it's not like we could really do much about it. And finally, until recently, we didn't actually have any tooling to try and detect and measure this problem, so it just it was just hidden below the water, and we couldn't really go and say, like, oh, hey, like, you know, there's a new derivation that's being proposed by someone, like a new package that's being added to Nix packages. Is it actually rendering anything? People would have to go and manually check, and nobody was doing this when reviewing packages because it's just a lot of effort. There's potentially stuff we could do now automatically with some newer tooling that I've been writing. As I mentioned, we don't have policies against rendering, but like it's even worse than that. In Nix packages, we don't have really policies against even building from source. It's preferred, but there's actually no preference expressed anywhere. I've checked again today, and I could not find it. So people just go and fetch things from app images, for example. Upstream distributes an app image. It's too complicated to build. I'm just going to fetch the app image, run patch elf to fix the paths to dependencies, and then the problem is, well, you don't really know what libraries, what dependencies upstream has been using to build these app images. It's usually not great. So this is something we had with libwebp, for example, where I think Anki, for example, like the flashcard software, is using, we just using the app image for it. And it was like vulnerable because it was using like some build environment from 2018 or something. That was, of course, not receiving any security updates. We fetch deb files, we fetch, you know, people are very creative about how to get binaries. Like we fetch tar.gz, we fetch static Go binaries. Let's not even talk about JavaScript, because you can just fetch a tar.jz and unpack it somewhere, and it's fine, because when would JavaScript software ever have vulnerabilities? Yeah, so some of the distros have famously strong preferences for building from source. Debian has really good policies regarding vendoring, which have always been kind of the gold standard, I think, in the Linux distribution world. We should probably do some of that. How do we address Rust, Go, NPM, etc.? I don't think we can. I think it's an upstream problem. But what we could probably do is make it clearer to users that they're actually using insecure software. It's not really a problem that any other big distros has been hitting much, because just Nix packages is much bigger in terms of scope. We put everything in Nix packages. We don't have AUR. I mean, we have NUR actually that some people use, but like the bar for what goes into Nix packages is very low, right? Like, you know, we don't actually have many policies against, like, oh no, this, let's just keep this out of Nix packages because it's not well maintained by upstream. We don't really do this much. So, you know, by being a huge package set, we have the problem that we have pretty bad software that's not really being kept up to date. We have stuff that's just not maintained anymore by upstream. And I feel like this is some, like the way we should fix this in Nix packages, this like log file insecurity problem, is just by making sure that if upstream isn't actually maintaining their log files, we should probably inform the users and actually make them actually aware of the risks. We currently have this non-vulnerabilities bit that we can put in the package. The problem is that it's extremely coarse and it's extremely annoying to work around. Like people have to like manually, like it like stops evaluation. It's not a warning. It's like a critical error. You're using like an insecure package. And so what people do is they just allow every insecure package because the easiest way to work around the error. Tooling, as I mentioned, until recently, we didn't really have any way to detect this. I have actually written a bunch of things to try and detect vendoring. So one tool, which is called grepnixos cache, and what it does is it reads grepsnixos cache. It goes and it takes a list of store paths, which we get from Hydra, and it runs, it will just go and like, you know, fetch every single store path that Hydra has built, which is like, you know, a few, usually hundreds of thousands. And it just runs some signatures on it. It looks for some strings that you find as part of the implementation of some libraries. And if the library has been vendored or statically linked, you will find a string in there. And sometimes you can even get version numbers and stuff like this. And some other project I've been working on is, I've kind of like called it Nix packages vendor drone scan, because I wanted to also make it include the above, like, new vendoring thing. But this one is currently specifically doing log file analysis. So finding all of the log files for Rust, JavaScript, and doing automatic vulnerability detection based on the log files. Conclusion. We have new tooling, we have a better idea of how vendoring goes in these packages, and it's not great. And it's a problem because we cannot actually fix security vulnerabilities in base libraries right now. We tell ourselves that we did by, you know, fixing the library itself, but we still have hundreds of instances of the library being unpatched. How to fix it? Well, awareness. Now all of you probably know about this and can, when you review new packages, can maybe look at whether this is happening. More discipline. I think we should have policies about this. I have not thought about the exact policy we should have yet, but we should probably have one. And better reporting for cases that we cannot fix ourselves, which is the insecure log files mostly. Yeah, here we go. If you have any thoughts or comments, please ask any questions now. Otherwise, this is a contact info and some links to tooling. Thank you.
Thank you for that. That was terrifying as someone who's come from the Debian world. But exciting as well. Is a really simple social approach that we could take to this to add another tick box to the default pull request template to say, have you checked that there's no vendored crap that you could be using a system library for?
I think it would help. At some point, if we just continue adding checkboxes, people are just going, I mean, people are already ignoring a lot of them. There's like, has anyone actually checked, like, you know, the sandbox thing in the pull request template anytime soon? It's like, you know, I see two people raise their hands. The rest of us have never touched that checkbox. I'd prefer if it was automated through tooling, if we could, like, you know, detect some of it automatically. And I'd prefer if at least we fix the policy first and then, like, you know, maybe like figure out the actual edge cases before we start telling people to look for stuff without actually being accurate about what to look for. But yes, we probably should be doing some variant of this.
One of my favorite things to do is package and archive and preserve old software. And some of that work has been done as a pull request in Nixpatches. Sometimes it doesn't get merged because you know, it's got an old dependency on like Qt 4 or something. So they say, oh, no, we can't merge this. And it does prevent some software from getting into Nixpatches, but there is still a lot of software still in there that managed to sneak in. And since we don't have a policy, it's kind of like ad hoc, like some things get in, some things don't. Some people launch crusades against like old Python, and they don't want that there. And yeah, it's kind of messy. So what do you think about it? Because I think there's like a real value proposition for archiving old software, because tarballs.nixos.org will archive the source code. It will be around forever. You'll be able to reproduce it in 20 years. So what do you think about like you know, banning old stuff and only striving for perfection versus keeping everything in Nixpatches and just accepting everything?
Yeah, I don't think we should be striving necessarily for perfection. Like, I don't think we can anyway, but the problem right now is, so for the case of old software, for example, usually one of the things that's blocking old software is when they use library versions that, you know, when they have so many dependencies in Nixpatches that having this old software would induce costs on other maintainers because they have to care about this old software that will never actually be updated to, like, you use a new API or something like that in the library. And so I think that we should figure out a way to include this old software or use this, like, you know, less maintained software in a way that doesn't use the bandwidth of all the maintainers. Right now, we don't have a way to distinguish this software from, you know, stuff that more people care about, more people use, which means that whenever there is security remediation that needs to happen, the people doing the security remediation don't have a way to distinguish these things. And we use our bandwidth on stuff that maybe is like, you know, old software and stuff like this. That's why I think that actually we should have better query categorization, better ways to inform the users about which category a given software falls into. We don't really have any of this right now in Nixpatches. And I think it's, I don't know how we've managed to survive that long without having such a system. I think we just burn a bunch of maintainer time on stuff that really we shouldn't, and we should just accept to be broken.
Hi, as you went around interacting with upstream to have these sorts of issues fixed, I'm pretty sure some of these things were also things that other distros were also dealing with and working with. As you encountered them, what sorts of things did you see in terms of those interactions with dealing with upstream, where you had maybe requests coming from other people kind of a similar position as you, but just from other distros?
Yeah. So a lot of the cases where I've actually had to contact upstream myself were stuff that was not actually packaged in other distros, just because, you know, Debian doesn't actually package .NET software, for example, or doesn't package much Go software, surprisingly. Like, if you want to get Grafana from Debian, I think they still don't have that in their repository. I mean, it's not free anymore, so they have a good reason now, but, you know. They never did, right? Like, you know, do they even package Prometheus, right? Like, some pretty base software that people would expect to be able to apt-get. You have to use some external repositories because they don't have the right tools to package Go code. So I think because Nix packages is much broader in scope, we have a lot more things to care about, and we've had to do a lot more of the, you know, talking to upstream. There is stuff that, like, you know, has been useful to other distros, and, like, you know, other distros have contacted upstream before us in some cases. And usually when we do contact upstreams, they are receptive to this. The problem is when they just don't reply. So for example, for GibWebP, we had the issue that the main library that people were using to use GibWebP in Go was just unmaintained. And we found a bug, and the maintainer has just still not replied to it to this day. So you have 500 users of this library that indirectly has a vendored vulnerable GibWebP version. What do we do? So we had to go and manually contact some other users of this and say, like, hey, you use a library that's not actually maintained anymore. You should fix that. And suddenly it's like, you know, like the tree of things you need to contact grows and grows. It's a complicated problem.
But does that add value?
It does. It does add value, yes. And I mean, it's general, like, you know, value to, like, the whole software ecosystem. It's just not a Nix packages thing, but it's tiring, right? And, like, you know, it's not feasible that we would be the only people caring about this for every single vulnerability.
Great. Let's have another round of applause for Debra.
Thank you.